The frigid dawn air cuts through my jacket as I lie face down on cobbled floors, arm deep inside a straining cow, while snow blows through a doorless barn onto my back. This wasn't in the veterinary school brochure. It's 1937, and I've just begun my career as a newly qualified veterinary surgeon in the Yorkshire Dales. Agriculture is depressed, draft horses are disappearing, and typically 80 desperate graduates compete for each rare position. Yet here I am, working alongside the eccentric Siegfried Farnan in the market town of Darrowby, treating creatures great and small across the sweeping landscape of northern England. The clarity in the air, the sense of space, and the solid gray stone farmhouses surrounded by dry stone walls that trace endless patterns across the green uplands have quickly dispelled my preconception of Yorkshire as stodgy and unromantic. This is a world where the relationship between people, animals, and land feels immediate and meaningful. A world where a young vet might just find his place. This job offers unparalleled opportunities for making a chump of yourself, Siegfried tells me after a blunder, but that unpredictability is what makes it wonderful. My employer is an enigma, charging around with fierce energy while treating money as an afterthought. His pockets scatter coins and notes whenever he reaches for his thermometer, and he vanishes without warning after intense work. His morning directions often send me to wrong farms. Once, after a call about a dead sheep for Mr. Heaton of Bronset, he insists on joining, but drives to Seaton's farm despite my protests. After cheerfully sharpening a borrowed knife while singing, he realizes his mistake, then later blames me for the confusion. His contradictions show in his professional approach. Exhausted from a pre-dawn call, he chides me for telling a farmer to call anytime about a cow's mild impaction. You're spoiling these chaps. Yet a week later, he scolds me for not attending a nighttime mastitis case. You must attend. Despite these eccentricities, Siegfried's passion and brilliant skill with animals makes him an invaluable mentor. My ancient car rattles along moorland roads as I learn the district. Rain seeps through the rusty sunshine roof, and muddy water spurts through the floorboards. In summer, I develop a farmer's tan driving with windows open, enjoying the fresh air and valley scents carried on the breeze. Winter brings harsh realities, frozen feet from long drives, biting winds on farms, and washing in cold water that leaves hands chapped. We compound our own remedies before rounds, preparing colic drafts and utter liniments. Spring arrives in late March while examining sheep. Despite snow, warm sunshine, and larks signal renewal. Lambing season follows, a surge of work when sheep dominate our practice. Usually mere woolly things on the hills, for 2 months they demand attention with toxemias, prolapses, difficult births, and lamb diseases. I find lambing captivating, all the interest of calving without the hard labor, though typically performed outdoors in harsh weather. Darrowby's Dales farmers prove invaluable partners. Their exceptional skill with animals makes a vet's work infinitely easier. When I euthanize an elderly widower's 14-year-old Labrador, he declines my offer of free service and instead presses a cherished cigar into my hands, tearful but smiling. The farmer's invitation to a hot dinner and entertainers marks my acceptance into their community. Dick Rudd exemplifies the Dalesman spirit, resilient, philosophical, and quietly humorous. When his cow Strawberry develops a dangerous throat abscess, his steady response, "She can't last much longer like this. There's naught to lose. Get on with it," leads to one of my most satisfying early successes. I meet Finn Calvert outside our surgery while talking with Brigadier Julian Couts Brown. The brigadier, tall, stooped, hawk-featured, speaks through cigar smoke in a high drawl. Finn approaches in a ragged jacket and greasy cap. When the brigadier coldly says, "Calvert," Finn cheerfully replies, "Not on Charlie, I was ta," leaving the brigadier looking distinctly sour. Though shabby in appearance, Finn is a prosperous farmer with fine buildings and dairy herd. He dubs me Happy Harry and asks about his Dowley calves, which show classic signs of lead poisoning. After I trace it to an old painted board and prescribe Epsom salts, Finn studies me shrewdly before inviting me for a nutty brown ale, the first of many shared at his kitchen table. Mrs. Pumphrey's Pekingese, Tricky Woo, suffers from flopbot and chronic overfeeding. As Tricky's uncle, I receive regular gifts of kippers, tomatoes, tobacco, and lavish Fortnum & Mason's hampers. When Tricky becomes dangerously overweight, I put him on a strict diet. Mrs. Pumphrey sends eggs for strength, sherry for his blood, and brandy for his constitution, provisions the staff happily consumes at lunch. At Heston Grange, a Victorian farmhouse, I meet Helen Alderson, a dark-haired girl making bread. She shows me to a lame calf, and during our walk through pine woods, I find myself admiring both the scenery and my companion. At Darrowby Music Society, I watch Helen from afar. We remain formal, Mr. Harriet and Miss Alderson, until the vicar assigns us washing up duty together. In the cramped scullery, we work quietly until, clutching the final cup, I gather courage to ask her out. She flushes and agrees. When Helen brings her sheepdog Dan to the surgery with a dislocated hip, we work together until the satisfying click of success. Despite her father's hopes for wealthier suitors, my regular visits to Heston Grange lead to our decision to marry. After 6 months of practice, I'm struck by doubt. Despite 5 years of education, I feel like a novice. While farmers speak confidently about animal ailments, I feel like an astronomer facing an unknown galaxy. Our honeymoon spent tuberculin testing cattle is perfect, filled with laughter. Upon return, Siegfried makes me a partner at Skeldale House, complete with a new nameplate. In Miss Stubbs' cottage, beneath God is Near, I find her dog Ben has died. She maintains composure until sharing her fear. I'm afraid I might never see them when I'm gone. They say animals have no souls. My assurance that animals possess love, loyalty, and gratitude, the essence of a soul, brings her peace. My old teacher said veterinary work wouldn't make me rich, but would offer endless interest and variety. Delivering piglets by bicycle lamplight, I laugh at the truth in his words. In this world of unpredictable animals and eccentric characters, I've found something better than wealth, purpose, and the joy of healing those who cannot speak for themselves. The Yorkshire Dales have become my home.